Log Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisors who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Right at Home's Vice President of Franchise Development, Eric Little. And Right at Home, a privately held provider of in-home elder care and assistance, was founded in 1995 by Alan Hagar, and we're going to be talking about that in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs of all one. I'm your host Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Right at Home's Vice President of Franchise Development, Eric Little. And Right at Home is a privately held provider of in-home elder care and assistance. They were founded in 1995 by Alan Hagar, a hospital administrator who was concerned with patients needed additional assistance after their discharge from the hospital. He sought to assist their return to good health by becoming a certified nursing assistant and then launching Right at Home. Today, Right at Home generates more than $170 million in annual revenue through its 200-plus offices across the United States, United Kingdom, and also Brazil. Outlets are franchisee-owned and operated, and a staff of skilled professionals trained to provide home-based care for thousands of clients on a daily basis. That certainly touched my heart on Right at Home. It's called Right Care Award Acceptance Speech Touches Hearts. And I don't have the author here, and I should, but it was printed on October 11, 2010. During the Right at Home annual meeting in Omaha, Nebraska last week, Greg Schaffner, the 2010 Right Care Award winner from Greater Southwest Minneapolis, Minnesota, gave a very touching acceptance speech. After he spoke about his life as a caregiver, Mr. Schaffner was met with a rousing standing ovation by Right at Home franchisees from all over the country. We thank all of our caregivers for the hard work, dedication, and support they provide to Right at Home clients across the country each and every day. Here's an excerpt of Mr. Schaffner's speech. Thank you for this wonderful award. I accept it on behalf of the thousands of other caregivers who could just as easily be up here instead of me. Good people who do work day in and day out with no thought of an award such as this. I suspect that I'm a little different from most caregivers in a few ways. One is the beard. Another is that I primarily take care of men, and I primarily offer companionship as opposed to housekeeping or medical chores. My life is the book Tuesdays with Maury, except that in my case, I spend my Tuesdays with Clyde, a born-again son of a Kentucky moonshiner and coal miner. I spend Wednesdays with Roger, a former Navy pilot who flew dive bombers off aircraft carriers and then had a long career in medicine. I spend Thursdays building a wooden boat with Jim, who survived a major stroke that left him with a partially paralyzed body and looks like asthma. I spent Fridays with Bill, a Jehovah's Witness, a widower, and one of the funniest and most interesting men I've ever met. These wonderful men widen my world. They have experiences I don't have and opinions I don't always share. They have attitudes that inspire me, and together they have taken away some of the deepest fears I have: poverty, stroke, memory loss, and loneliness. This kind of rich opportunity doesn't happen without a structure, and I'm lucky beyond measure to be part of the Right at Home team assembled by Paul and Bob. I depend on them, and they depend on me. I'm especially grateful for two wonderful social workers on staff. The boundaries between caregivers and clients can be tricky. They aren't black and white. Often, they will tell me, well, you might try this, and usually what they suggest works. In one case, I needed to report a situation of possible neglect to authorities. I didn't want to, but it was the right thing to do. And when the family got angry, guess who they took it out on? Not me, the social worker. But you know what? In the final analysis, the Right at Home team took care of a client who needed and subsequently received 24-hour care. That's why I say that I depend on them just as they depend on me. We're just one big independent or dependent family. I like to conclude with a paraphrase of a prayer from St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me a channel of thy care. Where there's loneliness, let me bring company. Where there is regret, let me bring hope.
Where there's sadness, cheerfulness. Where there's paranoia, let me bring calm. Where there's confusion, let me bring clarity. Help me to seek to serve rather than be served, and to offer care to others rather than seek care from them. For it's in caring that we fulfill your work, fulfill your will for us. Amen. Wow, that's pretty emotional as you get towards the bottom of that article. And he mentions a lot of great things about Right at Home. And just this particular type of opportunity is really amazing. I've mentioned on several occasions, probably a dozen occasions, throughout the 4 years we've been doing the show, how much I admire this type of opportunity, particularly Right at Home. Again, I have been following them quite a long time, so they really are an amazing opportunity. So we're going to be having Eric come up on segment two. He'll be calling in about another 10 or 15 minutes. We have a great lineup for almost the rest of the year. I think we're almost booked for the rest of the year. But here's a couple previews that you might be interested in. So next week, find out how franchising changed Tom Scarta's life. Not knowing how to start up or operate a business, Tom chose to buy a franchise. After consulting with Franchoice, the franchise consultants, in 2000, Tom purchased a Maui Wowie Fresh Hawaiian Blends franchise and then quickly expanded his operation to three locations. In 2002, Tom was named Maui Wowie's Franchisee of the Year, and he was also awarded the Outstanding Support of Franchise Owners Honor in 2002. It's a really amazing story. Tom was working for the New York Transit System, and he tells the story. We have the show pre-recorded, and it's a really amazing story. And he kind of noticed that, you know, all the people that were living in, I guess, nice homes and driving nice cars, they weren't necessarily working in transit, you know, and he wanted that. And the best way he thought that he could be a business owner was through franchising, because he really didn't have a lot of business experience. And Tom sounded like someone who was certainly able to follow a system, follow rules, follow procedures. And I think that was probably one of the reasons why he was so successful, amongst other things, as you'll hear on the show. excuse me, he's a great motivational speaker, very enthusiastic, and you'll learn a lot of great things from next week's show. The following week after that, September 15th, let's see, Ambiance Radio. Wow. This is definitely something different that Don and I were excited with. It says, Ambiance Radio brings the right music to the franchise industry. There's just a couple things. Fast-growing company dashes onto music scene in restaurants, hotels, resorts, and spas. It says, combining science, technology, and hospitality industry knowledge, a fast-growing new company is tapping into the missing link for increasing customer satisfaction and increasing revenues in restaurants, hotels, resorts, and spas. The right music. Ambiance Radio, founded and led by Bradley Neuberger, and I think that's who's coming on the show, a young hospitality industry entrepreneur, is the only background music service geared specifically for restaurants, hotels, resorts, and spas. Ambiance Radio uses proprietary software and cutting-edge technology to deliver fully customized music, feeds tailored to each site's specific business objectives, taking into account demographics, psychographics, traffic volumes, day by day, hour by hour. This is really fascinating. The system incorporates the findings from decades of academics and scientific research that the company calls the science of music, which has proven the right music increases guest satisfaction and, by influencing guest attitude and behaviors, spikes top-of-the-line results. It also improves staff morale and attitudes. Most importantly, for these times, Ambiance Radio is able to provide this premium service at a cost that is comparable to what the mass-produced, largely generic music services charge. This is really fascinating. I mean, we've had franchise services or suppliers like this on the show before. Not a lot in the 250 shows that we've done, but every time we've done them, Don and I have always found these shows fascinating. Let's see what else it says. Quaker Steak and Lube says, a motorsports-themed chain restaurant. Managers have been thrilled with the system and report positive guest comments after playing Ambiance Radio's background music in several of the restaurants. According to John Longstreet, president and CEO, more than a dozen restaurants in the 44-unit chain have signed on to use Ambiance Radio, and it's rapidly expanding throughout the system. Let's see what else. It goes on and on. I mean, so it sounds like a fantastic show. I think everyone's going to be interested in that one. And again, that's coming on September 15th, so that's 2 weeks from today. Let's see. Week after that, we're taking a little twist, and we're meeting with the Brain Balance franchise opportunity. I know Don knows a lot about these guys. It says, we are brain-based, not drug-based. We subscribe to a theory that the brain can be changed. Something once thought impossible. That means your child's problems aren't permanent and the situation isn't hopeless. We recognize that many childhood disorders are actually manifestations of a single underlying condition called functional disconnection, an imbalance in the connections and function between within the hemispheres, sides of your child's brain. This condition is responsible for a host of behavioral, academic, and also social difficulties. We measure and improve your child's brain and body function on numerous dimensions. To gain a full understanding of your child's difficulties, we first conduct a comprehensive assessment of all areas of the brain and body function. Then by integrating physical and cognitive exercises with dietary change, we're able to correct the underlying imbalance, improve function, and reduce, eliminate negative behaviors. It's amazing. You know, when watching franchising, you know, for like the last decade, there's been a lot of new industries that have come into existence or have used franchising. I hate to say it was a method of distribution, because you don't want to think of your franchisees as a method of distribution. I mean, again, it is a relationship. And as we were talking about that article earlier with the gentleman from Right at Home, you know, he mentioned the importance of having a strong relationship within the franchisee or the franchisor relationship. So that's going to be interesting. There's, again, a lot different type of show. September 29th. Unusual Franchise is a picture of post-Katrina success. Here's a quick article by Jeanette Mulvey, Business Daily managing editor. It says, Kathy Diano and Renee Maloney, owners of a business called Painting with a Twist, has been friends for several years and were always coming up with new business ideas together. 6 years after Hurricane Katrina, they found great success with one that met a unique need in post-Katrina New Orleans, a place to kick back, relax, and have fun with friends. We talked about concepts ranging from architecture to science fairs, Diano said. But when they came upon the idea of owning a business that hosted painting parties where people come, learn how to paint, and have a glass of wine and enjoy each other's company, they knew they had a good one. So once again, wow, interesting concept. And it's one of the things that, of course, I love franchise interviews, being the president of the company, but we've had so many different opportunities on the show up to this point. It really is quite amazing on the diversity of the show. And the new concepts are always a lot of fun. Of course, the successful concepts are very important as well, your Subways and your McDonald's and things like that. But it is nice to have some new concepts on the show once in a while as well. So why don't we do this? Let's hear a quick clip. As everyone knows, we have a podcast called Great Quotes in Franchising, and a lot of times our guests will say something that really captures our attention, you know, and kind of stands out. So it's kind of like highlights from the show. And on this particular clip, you're going to hear from Joe Matthews, and Joe Matthews is going to talk about something called cash, which is characteristics of successful franchise.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 5 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from one of the authors of Street Smart Franchising, Joe Matthews, and this truly is a must-read before buying a franchise. And Joe's going to talk about the four key ingredients of the most successful franchisees, and he calls it the cash model of success. Listen to what he says. It's really quite fascinating.
Hold them accountable for the blocking and tackling and the day-to-day implementation of the system.
Right, right.
You know, not like from a command and control technique, but just by asking.
Exactly. And so when you were talking about knowledge, Joe, I remember in the book you mentioned it was a model. It was called CASH, K-A-S-H. the K being part of that. Could you talk a little bit about that? What exactly is that?
Well, yeah, the cash model is the secret formula of winning at anything. So if you look at what peak performers have, they all pretty much have the same cash
right.
as other peak performers. In other words, peak performers, they have a tendency to know the same things.
Okay.
Like they know what they need to know to be successful, right?
Right.
So that's K is knowledge. And what did we already say about knowledge?
It's overrated.
It's way overrated, right? Okay. A is attitude, which is extremely underrated.
Right.
Now, if you look up attitude in the dictionary, it's not about good attitude, bad attitude. Attitude means how you relate to things.
Right.
So a franchisee who's a peak performer or has a high level of cash, they have a certain relationship with the franchisor that other underperforming franchisees don't have. They have a relationship with their customers. They have a relationship with their products and services.
Right.
They have a relationship to things like advertising. They have a relationship to what it is to go to work in the morning.
Mm.
It's a much more powerful mindset, you know, than people who aren't winning. S is skills. They're good at everything they need to be good at.
Right.
And the most important thing, habits.
Right.
It's like where they spend in their time.
Right.
In any business, it's the old 80-20 rule. You know, the typical person wastes 80% of their time on things that generate 20% results and only invests 20% of their time on things that generate 80% of the results.
Yeah.
So what are those 80% activities? And are you engaged in them? Are you focused on the high-priority activities that generate all the results? When I'm coaching a franchisee, that's the first place I look. When they tell me they're not winning, don't tell me where you think you're spending your time. Document it.
Right.
I want to know where you're spending your time and on what. And you know what? When they actually look at where they spend their time on paper and how long things take and what little it produces and how much they waste, when they're done throwing up, they have a huge breakthrough in results.
Right, absolutely.
Most of the time, it's time management.
Yeah, you mentioned in the book, I think a lot of our time is spent on minutiae, so I think is what you said. You know, it was interesting.
And Joe, habits should always be reviewed and, I guess, evolved. I mean, you know, habits should always be changing, basically, right?
I didn't hear the question. One more time?
Your habits should always are always being reviewed and evolving. Habits should always be changing, basically, because businesses can change and people don't want to get into bad habits. So that's always kind of evolving, right?
Yeah, but it depends on the business model. Yeah, so some business models, yeah, there isn't a whole heck of a lot of change. Franchisors, a lot of them are fairly low-tech. Like the sponsor of this business is, you know, Molly Maids, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the technology are vacuums.
There you go.
You know, so there you don't want, yeah, there you want them to get into a rhythm and just do the same thing over and over and over again and beat it into the dirt.
Exactly.
You know, there's
maybe talking more about the marketing and advertising, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, so there are aspects of the business that need to change, but typically franchise businesses are fairly low-tech, you know, rhythm-type businesses. You know, like once you got the winning formula,
right.
You just beat it into the dirt. You wake up, you execute it, you wake up the next day, you execute it again.
You can actually hear that whole interview with Joe Matthews by, of course, going to franchiseinterviews.com. And that was one of our earlier shows as well. I think that was probably like our 15th show done in 2007. And again, he's the author of Street Smart Franchise. Why don't we do this? I suspect our guest Eric is going to call in any minute. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Right at Home's Vice President of Franchise Development, Eric Little. And Right at Home is a privately held provider of in-home elder care and assistance, and they were founded in 1995. Today, Right at Home generates more than $170 million in annual revenue. Hey, Eric, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Eric. Thank you. I want to start off congratulating you. You know, we were doing a little research before the show, Eric, and we saw that Right at Home had a bunch of accolades. America's top global franchise, like number 155 position, fastest growing franchise, number 68 position, low-cost franchise. You guys were the number 59th position. Entrepreneur Magazine's top 500, you're ranked number 165. So congratulations on all that. It sounds like you're doing a very good job over there.
Well, yeah, we appreciate that, and a lot of the credit, frankly, goes to our franchisees. I mean, what we find in franchising is when the franchisees are doing well, those accolades tend to come pretty easy.
It's funny you say that. We were in the beginning of the show, I don't know if you heard the very first 5 minutes of the show, but we were actually talking about, I guess, one of the caregivers. We read the article, Right Care Award Acceptance Speech Touches Hearts, with Greg, I guess his name is Schaffner. I guess it was one of the people who care, you know, for the clients. And it was a very emotional article. I tell you, I was getting towards the end. I was starting to get a little teary-eyed, you know. It was, I've always said, you know, Right at Home and this type of franchise is one of those feel-good type of franchise opportunities, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a business, you know, I say this all the time, it's a business that you can be proud of. It's a business that, you know, you can, it's fulfilling in a lot of ways, and it's obviously financially rewarding, but at the end of the day, the franchisees that we have are so fulfilled. And, you know, you mentioned Greg, what you're talking about there is we give away an annual Caregiver of the Year award, and I talked with him for, gosh, it must have been 30 or 40 minutes during our annual convention, and I was just so impressed with him. And, you know, if that article brought tears to your eyes, you should have seen the video.
I can only imagine.
Unbelievable. I mean, this guy, you know, every Thursday for 2 years went to work with a stroke patient to help him build a boat, you know, and that was his lifelong dream was to build a boat in retirement.
Right.
Every Thursday he'd go over there for 4 hours and they'd work on this boat, this kit they found on the internet. And I'm telling you, if you had seen that video when they put that boat in the water, when they flashed to his wife,
really,
I was sitting in my office with tears in my eyes. I couldn't, I mean, it was just amazing.
Oh, it's a great story. It really is, you know. And I've been following Right at Home for a long time. Just so you know, I back in 2003, I was going for a post MBA and we had to do what was called a feasibility analysis. And the company that I chose was Right at Home. To find out, to make a long story short, that Right at Home was very feasible in the area I was actually researching, you know. So you guys really do have an amazing history, and Don and I have been talking about your franchise specifically for a long time, so really, you guys have a great opportunity over there. We would like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Eric?
Oh, I'm in Omaha. I'm in the corporate office.
Okay, okay. And that's where your corporate offices are and your training is held and everything like that. Okay. And what were you doing before coming to Right at Home? And what was a little bit about your background, Eric?
Yeah, I've been in franchising for a while now. I most recently, mm-hmm. prior to this, worked with a children's birthday party franchise. It was those large inflatable, mm-hmm. places where they're very quiet facilities where children run around like crazy. so did that for a while.
I was recently at one of those, so I know.
Yes,
that's
we did.
Funny.
Did that for a while
as
VP of development, helped them get out of the ground, and a couple of other companies, yeah. I worked with. First was Valvoline as an oil change, so everybody seems to know the brand Valvoline. Worked with them on the quick lube side for a while, and then after that worked with a printing franchise called Alpha Graphics in a similar role.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure, you know, you've been able to take a lot of those experiences and apply it to Right at Home. What was it about Right at Home that kind of stood out? Why did you join those guys, Eric?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, when I was laid off from my job, like many probably people that are listening, mm-hmm. you know, I was laid off from my job on the Hacks Day of 08, and we had a baby due 3 weeks after that. So we were we were in a bit of a situation where I wanted to find a company that, you know, that was going to be stable. And as I thought through that decision, it's really interesting. As I thought through that decision, I realized a lot of the things that I was looking for in my next position was really what a lot of prospective franchisees would be looking for in a company to partner with. You know, I had a baby on the way, so I wanted some stability.
Yeah.
I wanted a company that when I go to trade shows and places where people know me and I've got a brand on my shirt, I want to be proud to be representing that brand. I want a company that can pay its bills, especially the one that has my paycheck in it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that at the end of the day, you just want a company that is a good cultural fit. And I actually interviewed with several companies as part of that job search, and it targeted the senior care industry because even in early 08, I think we all knew we were in for a bit of a bumpy ride from an economic perspective.
Right.
So for Right at Home, it's just a good cultural fit. We've got good people here. They understand that franchisees come first. You know, we only have one unit that we still own and operate. I mean, all the other ones, all the 210 or so that are out there now are franchised. So, you know, the priorities are in order here, and it's nice to work with folks that genuinely want to see the franchisees do well.
Yeah, it's been amazing, the growth, I mean, of Right at Home. You know, again, I've literally been following you guys, you know, almost 10 years. In fact, you probably don't know this, but one of our very first interviews, our company started off as a newsletter before we even had a radio show, and one of those first interviews was with Alan Hagar. So and I think it's another reason why Right at Home has a soft spot with franchise interviews as well, you know, is we feel like we've been following you guys for such a long time now. The company has an amazing history. Did you want to talk a little bit about the history?
Yeah, I can talk about that. I mean, you brought up Alan. I'll start there. Alan,
mm-hmm.
Alan is a big part of the reason that I joined Right at Home, and I think that those who know him best would say the same thing. Even the franchisees, even the especially the early ones, obviously that that there were probably three people here when he first started franchising this thing. But you know, having worked with a number of franchise companies now, one of the things that I've seen consistently in every place I've been is the founder's personality tends to permeate through the company and become the company's culture. And nowhere has it been more true than here. I mean, Alan Hager is a smart guy, but he's one of those people that he's an easy guy to work for because I know what I'm supposed to do in every situation. If there's a choice and there's something that costs more money but it's the right thing to do, I know I'm supposed to do that one, and I know that Alan would do that too. So that's kind of the culture of the company. But Alan worked for a long time as a hospital administrator, and went and had his MBA at Tulane, and you know, very very smart guy. And what he started noticing when he was in hospital administration though was that, you know, people were there's the medical care that happens in the hospitals, but then when that care is finished, people are obviously discharged and discharged back home. Well, you get admitted to the hospital, you get discharged back home. Well, what he noticed was people weren't really necessarily ready to be independent at home yet. They were being sent home because the hospital was finished providing the services they were supposed to provide, but they may not necessarily be ready to be independent in their own homes. And so these folks sometimes were, you know, just kind of left to fend for themselves. And then no fault on the part of the hospitals. I mean, it's not it's not their job to make sure that the patients can, you know, cook a nutritious meal or take their medication on time or be able to take a bath or whatever. And so he noticed that just time and time and time again, and really started thinking through it and started researching it. And then he did something you wouldn't think most high-ranking senior executives would do. He he rolled up his sleeves, he went and got a certified nursing assistant license, and he worked for several months, nights and weekends, as a caregiver. And I'll never forget this. My first week at right at home, I had a business trip with Alan. He put me to work right away. We were in the car together on the way to the airport, and I said, "Alan, tell me a little bit more about your experience as a caregiver. You know, what did you learn?" And he said, "You know," he said, I thought I would go into that and I'd learn the nuts and bolts of the business." And he said, "And I did." He said, "But what I really learned, though, was when I got to work shoulder to shoulder with those other caregivers, and they didn't know who I was, and they didn't know that, you know, I was a hospital administrator. They saw me just as a peer."
Right.
He said, "I got to learn about them in a way that I never would have learned had I been their boss or their manager or whatever." And so, you know, bringing this kind of full circle a little bit, Marty, the you know, Greg Schaffner, the caregiver of the year that you mentioned earlier in the show, you know, that award, that Caregiver of the Year award, came from that experience with Alan working as a caregiver. I mean, what he realized is, you know, folks that work as caregivers, you know, they, you know, like most people, they need to be rewarded, they need to be respected,
right,
they need to be motivated, and these are folks that truly are angels on earth. And so a lot of what he learned in that several months as a caregiver, he put into place today. But, you know, kind of fast forward through the history a little bit, he started in 95 with the very first flagship right at home here in Nebraska, and then in 2000 ran it for 5 years, fine-tuned it, created all the systems and processes that you would expect, and then in 2000 franchised it. And so over the next 11 years, you know, we've added, over the last 11 years, we've added about 210 franchises now. We have also taken the company international. We were the first U.S.-based home care franchise to go into China, which is obviously a big deal. We've been in other cultures. We've been in the U.K. We've been in South America, but China was the biggest challenge we've had so far. And I'll tell you, one of the things about taking your company international, doesn't matter if it's China or wherever you're going, one of the things that really makes you do is it makes you go back through your entire business model and make sure that it works. And I'm not talking about the consumer model, the part where we serve customers. What I'm talking about is our own internal processes. You know, one of the things that happens for us anyway in international franchising is we teach these companies internationally how to become us. So they go overseas in their area and they sell franchises and they support franchises and, you know, they become us. So it was a challenge. We had to go back through our entire model and make sure that we had all the checklists, all the procedures, all the documentation that we needed so that we could set these folks up for success.
That's amazing. That's exciting. I mean, China is a pretty big market, you know. So,
well,
I mean, that's incredible.
If you think about it, they're going to be bigger than we are.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. I didn't realize that you guys were also now in China. I knew you were in the UK and I knew you were in Brazil, but that's really fascinating. It's interesting, Eric, in following Right at Home over the years, we've had, up to this point, the 4 years we've been doing the show, and again, we did invite you guys first because we had you in our newsletter, but since then on our show, we've had about 6 senior care franchise opportunities. What I've been amazed is the number of senior care franchise opportunities that have popped up over the last decade. And I guess the question always goes back to, you know, you guys is, you know, how do you describe the Right at Home franchise system, particularly when you're comparing it to all these other companies? It seems like a lot of them have like little twists and turns that make them a little different. But what do you guys say?
No, that's a good question. That's the question all day long. As you said, that's the question all day long that the folks in my department answer. There are almost 40 franchises now in this space. But surprisingly, The lion's share of the businesses out there, it's still a very fragmented industry, and most of the senior care businesses are independents. You know, there's only between, I'd say, oh, I don't know, between 3,000 and 5,000, and probably in that, you know, 4,000 range is the number of private duty franchised home care companies, but there are between 11,000 and 13,000 independents. So by and large, the competition in this business is likely in each of the individual areas around the country going to be a strong independent. But yeah, you know, that's the question of how we're different. Yeah, we get that all the time. The thing that we do very well at Right at Home, you know, we do more than I've seen anybody else do to drive business to our franchisees. You know, one of the things that I think folks should look at, they always want to know. They want to know, what's that one thing, Eric, that sets you apart?
Right.
And they want an easy answer to that question, but the reality of it is it's not an easy answer. You know, and I'll give you an example. We years ago, we had, and we still do, have a technology called telephony. And telephony is a system that allows the caregiver to go into the client's home, dial an 800 number, type in their code, and that clocks them in. And then they do the same thing when they leave, and that clocks them out. Well, if that doesn't happen, our franchise owners or the staffing coordinator, whoever they've set it up to be notified, they get a notification via text or email or however they want to set it up that says, hey, you know what, the caregiver's not where they're supposed to be, or they clocked in earlier, or they clocked out late, or whatever it is. So that was a competitive advantage for us. We were the first company to roll that out on a big nationwide basis. Well, guess what? It was a good idea. So now a lot of other companies have it. So, you know, the question I would say that's just I would have for your listeners is don't focus on, you know, what is the one thing that sets you apart. Really focus on this question, you know, what company over the long term is going to have the resources and the manpower and the financial stability to continue to reinvest in research and development and technology to be able to help you set yourself apart in your local community. I mean, we do more to drive business than I've seen any other franchise do. We have an exclusive relationship on Oprah.com. Let me tell you, Oprah is not it's not a bargain basement kind of a deal. And so we appreciate that relationship with Oprah.com, and it's something that's gone real well for us so far. We've been on there since January. We have an exclusive relationship with Caring.com. That's also an online relationship that allows us to drive business directly to our franchisees. By the way, all of our advertising campaigns are done without an advertising fund. So we are funding these initiatives right out of our own pockets. And really the philosophy is it doesn't mean we won't ever have an ad fund, but right now we just don't feel like that's the right thing to do. So we're spending our money to drive this business to the franchisees because we know it's a good investment. Beyond that, you know, we, as you noted, there are more and more competitors in this industry right now. And so you know, a lot of them are startups. Most of them don't have the track record that Right at Home has. But it's gotten competitive, and so it used to be when Alan started the business in 95, he had to educate all the referral sources out there in the hospitals and all the different places that we get referrals from and explain to them, you know, how this business worked, and people paid for it privately instead of government-paid assistance. And so they didn't, you know, that was his challenge.
Right.
He had to make them understand that. Now they understand that because there are so many companies that do it. Now the big deal is how do you set yourself apart out there? How do you get into those referral sources and make them want to call you when they have a referral? And so we've got specific sales training. We've got specific sales management training. We pay for half the cost of those with franchisees. So there are a lot of things that we're doing to set ourselves apart. And you know, one of the other things I would point to is, you know, we're making investments in our business model. We have a couple of programs called Right Transition and Right Care, the two things that I would point to as well that maybe we can get into later in the call.
Yeah, so it sounds like technology has played a role with Right at Home, certainly over the years, you know, starting with telephony, and it sounds like there's some other things that you guys got going with technology as well.
Yeah.
If you want to talk a little bit about that as well, Eric, that would be great.
Yeah, what I've noticed is that when it comes to home care and healthcare, technology tends to run, you know, a little behind the business community, so to speak. And so, we've certainly made those investments, but part of the reasons it tends to run a little behind is because it's such a personal business. We're taking care of people's parents and their grandparents. It's a very, very personal business. So, you know, the thing about this business that I love is that technology is really never going to take the place. There's no technology that's going to take care of mom. And,
sure.
You know, people love that about this business. But, you know, one of the things that's happening, people are worried about health care reform and all the things that are going on with that. We've got the election next year, and you know, we've got just all sorts of things happening in that arena. Well, one thing we know is that, you know, coming very soon here, hospitals are about to be penalized for readmittances on Medicare patients. So what this means is we did a pilot study in conjunction with the Duke Endowment in North Carolina and Forsyth Medical Center down there. And we did a big study, you know, had a couple hundred people involved in this study. And essentially, think of it as a transitionary program to get people from the hospital to safely back into their own homes. And so we package these services so that they get sort of admitted, like they get admitted to the hospital. They go through all these steps.
Right.
Well, now we're going to admit them back into their homes and make it a smooth transition. And so we've done this study because the thing that's coming on the horizon here is hospitals are about to be penalized for these readmittances. The government's going to say if that Medicare patient comes back within 30 days for the same condition that you discharged them for, you're not going to get paid.
Wow.
And that has really got the attention of the hospital CFOs, because in the study that we did, the average patient that gets readmitted under Medicare is $7,200 per visit.
Oh, my God.
In this study, because we went into the homes and transitioned them back into the homes, we reduced that readmittance rate. That's something that's very important to the hospitals. We reduced that readmittance rate by over 50%.
Wow.
So just think about the number of patients each year that go through a hospital, that get discharged and on Medicare, and they come in on half of them. If half of them come back, I mean, at $7,200 a pop, that's a big number.
Right.
And so the reason that this program is so important, first of all, it's necessary, right? You know, people need it.
Yeah.
It's something that's not a luxury. This service obviously is fulfilling a need. Even as we get into right transitions, this is addressing a need. People are going back home and they're getting readmitted for oftentimes things that could be prevented had they just been properly cared for in the home. But more importantly than that, even, is the ability to differentiate right at home. And what I mean by that is now our franchisees have a program. I don't know of any other franchise company that's doing this at this point. Again, it's a good idea, so it probably will be copied. But we are able to put our franchisees in a position of strength because they're able to go and talk to somebody else in those hospitals that they normally wouldn't talk to. They get to go to the CFO and say, hey, look, I've got a program that's going to save you money. And those hospital CFOs, you better believe they're worried about health care reform. So those are some of the things. I mean, you know, we looked at that and said there's a real opportunity here. We can help people, and that's certainly the goal. And we've been able to perform on that so far with this program. But we're also able to put our franchisees in a position of strength to be able to set themselves apart in their local communities.
That's great. It's so important. So what do you look for in your franchisees, Eric? As far as like characteristics go?
Yeah, there are three basic characteristics that we look for, and these I don't think will be in any way earth-shattering. But number one is we want people that are going to be system followers. As most franchises would tell you, they want folks that are going to follow the book, so to speak. You know, and that's not to say we don't get suggestions from franchisees that we use. In fact, all of the stuff that we've done over the years, all the improvements we've made, have really come as a direct result of franchisee input. You know, McDonald's is a great example. Breakfast didn't exist at McDonald's until a franchisee said, "Hey, why don't we have breakfast here?" So we obviously are very open to that. But in the beginning, you know the least amount about this business that you're going to know. And so in the beginning, and throughout the system, really, we want you to follow the processes and procedures in the operations manual. If your core competency is to go dive into that operations manual and make the 10 to 15% of it that need to be changed, make suggestions for that, the franchising in general might be a challenge for you. So that's number one, follow the system. Number two is you need to be active on the relationships building side of our business. This is still a business that's very, very personal. And whenever somebody hires us, there's almost always a family that's been they've just been thrown into a situation that they either weren't expecting or they're uncomfortable with. And so they don't know who to choose. They don't know what services are available. They don't know what it costs. They really don't know anything about this business. And so you've got to be able to get to them. Well, the way that you get to them right now is mostly through these referral sources that we have. There are 35 different categories of referral sources that we train the franchisees on how to find who they are, what are their job titles, where do they
right.
where do they work, what do you say to them to make sure that they understand that you know what you're talking about. That's how we get the lion's share of our business right now. I don't, you know, over the long term, that's shifting a little bit, but right now it's still a very personal
mm-hmm.
decision. So because that's such an important part of acquiring business for us right now, you need to have an active role in that side of the business. And so most franchisees will actually work that part of the business. Their full-time job as a business owner, in
right.
addition to being the business owner, is going out and meeting those referral sources and making sure they know that their clients will be very well taken care of. For some, though, they don't have that core competency. They're uncomfortable making the number of calls per week that would
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be required. And so
right.
we've had a few that hire that out. Either way,
okay.
you have to be active. You either have to do it yourself or you have to manage it. So that's number two, be active on the relationship building. And then finally, and there's just no nice way to say this last one, but you just need to be here for the right reasons. There's no
right.
secret this is a good business. There's 78 million baby boomers
mm-hmm.
out there. 49% of women over age 75 live alone. I can
yeah.
quote demographics and you know statistics all day long about this business. It's a good business. Everybody knows it. Part of the reason I know that
right.
is when I go places that I meet new people and they ask me what I do and I tell them I'm in senior care, they all say the same thing. Oh, gosh, that's a good business. I'm going to need that someday. And they're right. And so,
yeah.
but we want people that really want to make a difference in their communities. You know, we talk to people that are at this fork in the road, right? They've gone through the corporate world in almost every case. They've had a lot of success, but they've reached a point where they just said, you know, I'm at an age now where I want to do something that's more meaningful than what I'm doing. And so they either have been
right.
laid off or they're wishing they got laid off or something like that. I've even had people that have gotten interested in this and then and went and negotiated an exit package so they could do it.
My
point is those folks get to a point in their life where they say, this is great, I've been very successful, I've got some financial reward for that, but I'm not very fulfilled. And so we want people that genuinely want to be in this business so that they can help other people.
Well said. What's the training like for new franchisees? Once someone decides that they want to become a franchisee, Eric, what happens from there? Do they go to your headquarters? And
well, they sign the franchise agreement with a bit of a shaky hand because they're a little unsure of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but once they get beyond the fear, they we've done this several hundred times now, obviously, so we've gotten very good at letting people know it's going to be okay. We've done this before.
Yeah.
Just follow the system, and it'll be fine. So first thing we'll do is we'll get them started on what we call the Right Start Checklist. And so the Right Start program is a support program that's designed. We've had this for years and years now. It's worked very well. It's designed to get franchisees from the day they sign to 12 to 18 months in business and to get them to profitability as soon as they possibly can. And so they literally, you'll have a Right Start manager assigned to you from the day you sign until you sort of graduate out of this program based on your own performance. So they've got about a 110-point checklist at this point of things that have to be done. Some of it we do, some of it, you know, the franchisee does. But you'll work through that process to get, you know, up and running. Part of that will include our two-week owner's training class, and that's actually one of the differentiators for us. I don't know of any other companies that have a full two-week owner's training program, and part of the reason ours is so long is we've got the weeks divided up. We have 1 week entirely dedicated to sales, marketing, and relationship building because most people haven't really, you know, they're not professional salespeople, and they're not professional sales managers, and they haven't done
True.
That before. So we allocate a whole
Right.
week to that, including very uncomfortable role-playing in front of a video camera. But our philosophy
Mm-hmm.
is that if you do that in front of the camera, in front of your peers, we can correct, you know, any behaviors that we need to correct,
Right.
and you won't have to risk it out in the community. So it's very uncomfortable in the beginning of the week, and by the end of the week, everybody is just, they want more. So that's the first week. The second week is nuts and bolts. So how do you do, you know, how do you do payroll? How do you hire? How do you fire? What are all the processes, procedures for staffing and all those kinds of things? And that week is there, frankly, because most of our franchisees have never owned a business before. So we've really set the class up assuming that you don't have tons of sales experience and that you have never owned a business before. So you go through that 2 weeks of training, and I promise you, you will never remember everything we tell you in that 2 weeks. Our goal really
Of course, right.
is to get the the end of that 2 weeks and have you know where to go for the answer. And a lot of times, that first 12 to 18 months, you're just going to go to your Right Start manager because we want to streamline the communication to you in the first couple of years. That doesn't mean you can't talk to anybody else in the building. You certainly can. We just want to make it easy for the franchisees. So we've got Right Start managers that are assigned to each franchisee when they come in so that they have any question and they don't know who to call. You know, they can call, you know, William or Susie or anybody else that's assigned to them and get those answers. So it normally takes about, from the day they sign until the day they open, about 90 days to get that office open.
Interesting. So you've been doing this a long time, Eric. You've been involved in franchising a long time. The majority of our listeners, we call them aspiring franchipreneurs. They have their mind set up that they want to buy a franchise. What advice would you give to them in their quest for buying a franchise?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the first piece of advice I would give them is to really take a close look at themselves and maybe even talk to their spouse, because sometimes the perception that we have of ourselves differs from what is reality, and the spouse tends to know what the reality is. And so,
true. That's,
you know,
well said,
look,
yeah.
Be very introspective. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family members. Talk to the ones who really would be willing to share with you in an honest way the things that you're good at and the things that you do well. And if you're, you know, if you've been in the corporate world a while and, you know, you've been on the job hunt, so to speak, you've written your resume, you know the types of things that you're good at. But really dig deep and figure that out. You know, as an example, you know, if you're a software engineer, and I'm going to stereotype here a little bit because not all software engineers this way. We've got some that are very successful franchisees. But if you're a software engineer and you really would prefer to work with computers than people, I promise you this is not going to be a good business for you. So you have to like people to be in this business.
Right.
So I think you have to you have to kind of go through that self-analysis. You know, what types of things do you want to do? What are you good at? I think, you know, that's sort of the self-assessment. Then beyond that, as you look to one other part of the self-assessment I'll say, too, make sure that you don't have any other big life events that are going to happen here that are going to impact the business. You know, if you're having your first baby, you know, it doesn't mean you can't open a business at the same time. You just need to anticipate how your life is going to change as part of that. So make sure that you're, you know, obviously very, very aware and discussing with your spouse all the different family changes or different circumstance changes that are going to be happening personally. And then, you know, beyond that, when you move your research over to different franchises that you're looking at, make sure that you look at a wide variety of them, even ones that may take you outside your comfort zone. You know, at the end of the day, your business is going to need customers, and it's going to need probably employees, and it's going to need certain resources to do well. And don't get so caught up in what the actual service is. You know, most people, I think there are a lot of people that take their hobby, the thing they like to do. You know, if you like to refinish cars, or you like to, you know, work with wood or whatever it is, they try to take a hobby and make it a business. And what happens is you took something you loved and now you made it work.
Right.
And
exactly.
Before long, you don't love it as much as you used to. So
true.
I would say, you know,
just
open your eyes to the opportunities that are out there. Sometimes some of the most, some of the least sexy businesses, so to speak, can be some of the best ones, because those are the ones where you have the opportunity to make the most money. So I would say do that. And then as far as the research on the franchisor, you know, I couldn't possibly answer this question without saying this. Make sure that you call the franchisees of the system that you're thinking about joining. All the systems you're looking at, make sure you call an acceptable number of people within that system. And don't necessarily just call the ones that the franchisor suggests that you call. Make sure you call some at random as well, because obviously the franchisor is going to give you the list of folks they want you to talk to. But you need to get that random sample, and you really need to ask them, you know, good solid questions to see if you think you might be, to see if you really could be good at this business.
Well said. This is great advice. So what's Right at Home's plans for the future? I mean, as far as like maybe 5 years down the road, Eric?
Yeah, good question. We've been working under a strategic plan for a number of years now. We're continuing to execute on that plan. There really are three things that we're focused on right now. Top of the list is differentiation. You know, as we talked about earlier, it's a very fragmented industry. Nobody has a dominant brand in this space yet. And so we're working very, very hard on differentiation. So as you look at the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, you're going to see us really do some things to help us differentiate ourselves and help our franchisees continue to differentiate themselves in their local markets. Number two is, you know, we call it scalability, but, you know, you've noted early in the call that we've had a lot of growth in the last few years. And so we want to make sure we've had top-notch support all the way through. I mean, you can look at the performance of our franchisees and really see that the systems are working, the support is working, we're finding the right people to be franchisees. But we need, as we continue to scale this business up, you know, we find more and more franchisees, we have bigger and bigger offices out there. We're going to need to make sure that we scale the infrastructure of our corporate office and the staff here to meet that growth. So we're working on scalability, which also includes documentation of everything that we do. You know, and so those are the two big ones. The third one really relates to what I do, and it also relates to our franchisees, and that's growth. You know, we need to continue growing as a company in order to get more market share. I mean, there's 78 million baby boomers that are moving through these retirement years. They just started turning 65 this year. So we need to grow, and that means growth in the number of franchisees, but it also, and more importantly, it means growth in the average sales per office of each one of our franchisees. We want to make sure that we continue to have the industry-leading revenues that we do for our franchisees. So those are the three things that I would say are on the horizon for us as far as our strategic plan. I think you'll see us, you know, we're working toward a 500-unit in the U.S. franchise. We will bring on probably 2 to 3 countries each year for the next few years anyway. We want to scale that at an appropriate pace, and we feel like we can do that. So really the overall plan, if I summarize it, is just to grow around the globe in the markets that it makes sense.
That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee, Eric? Any websites they should go to, any numbers they should call?
Absolutely, yeah, a couple of those. So the easiest one is rightathomefranchise.com, rightathomefranchise.com. Or you can always call us at our toll-free number, and that number is 877-697-7537.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Eric. You've been a fantastic guest, and I'd love to have you guys come back next year, you know, as you guys continue to grow. You did a great interview.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Tell Alan we said hello.
I will.
Here. Thanks, Eric. You have a great day today.
Bye-bye.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. And go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net. And we'll see everyone next week with another great show.